A reading from the prophet Isaiah. See, my servant will prosper. He shall be lifted up, exalted, rise to great heights. As the crowds were appalled on seeing him, so disfigured did he look, that he seemed no longer human. So will the crowds be astonished at him, and kings stand speechless before him. For they shall see something never told, and witness something never heard before. Who could believe what we have heard? And to whom has the power of the Lord been revealed? Like a sapling, he grew up in front of us, like a root in arid ground. Without beauty, without majesty, we saw him. No looks to attract our eyes. A thing despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. A man to make people screen their faces. He was despised, and we took no account of him. And yet ours were the sufferings he bore, ours the sorrows he carried. But we thought of him as someone punished, struck by God and brought low. Yet he was pierced through for our faults, crushed for our sins. On him lies a punishment that brings us peace, and through his wounds we are healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, each taking his own way, and the Lord burdened him with the sins of all of us. Harshly dealt with, he bore it humbly. He never opened his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughterhouse, like a sheep that is dumb before its shearers, never opening its mouth. By force and by law he was taken. Would anyone plead his cause? Yes, he was torn away from the land of the living. For our faults, struck down in death. They gave him a grave with the wicked, a tomb with the rich, though he had done no wrong, and there had been no perjury in his mouth. The Lord has been pleased to crush him with suffering. If he offers his life in atonement, he shall see his heirs, he shall have a long life, and through him what the Lord wishes will be done. His soul's anguish over, he shall see the light and be content. By his sufferings shall my servant justify many, taking their faults on himself. Hence I will grant whole hordes for his tribute. He shall divide the spoil with the mighty. For surrendering himself to death and letting himself be taken for a sinner, while he was bearing the faults of many and praying all the time for sinners. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Since in Jesus, the Son of God, we have the supreme high priest who has gone through to the highest heaven, we must never let go of the faith that we have professed. For it is not as if we had a high priest who was incapable of feeling our weaknesses with us, but we have one who has been tempted in every way that we are, though he is without sin. Let us be confident then in approaching the throne of grace, that we shall have mercy from him and find grace when we are in need of help. During his life on earth, he offered up prayer and entreaty, aloud and in silent tears, to the one who had the power to save him out of death. And he submitted so humbly that his prayer was heard. Although he was son, he learnt to obey through suffering. But having been made perfect, he became, for all who obey him, the source of eternal salvation. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kedron Valley. There was a garden there. He went into it with his disciples. Judas the traitor knew the place well, since Jesus had often met the disciples there. And he brought the cohort to this place, together with a detachment of guards sent by the chief priests and the Pharisees, all with lanterns and torches and weapons. Knowing everything that was going to happen, Jesus then came forward and said,
"Who are you looking for?"
They said,
"Jesus."
He said,
"I am he."
Now Judas the traitor was standing among them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they moved back and fell to the ground. He asked them a second time,
"Who are you looking for?"
They said,
"Jesus."
Jesus replied,
"I have told you that I am he. If I am the one you are looking for, let these others go."
This was to fulfill the words he had spoken. "Not one of those you gave me have I lost." Simon Peter, who carried a sword, drew it and wounded the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter,
"Put your sword back in its scabbard. Am I not to drink the cup that my Father has given me?"
The cohort and its captain and the Jewish guards seized Jesus and bound him. They took him first to Annas. Annas was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had suggested to the Jews, "It is better for one man to die for the people." Simon Peter, with another disciple, followed Jesus. This disciple, who was known to the high priest, went with Jesus into the high priest's palace. But Peter stayed outside at the door. So the other disciples, the one known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who was keeping the door, who brought Peter in. The maid on duty at the door said to Peter,
"Aren't you another of that man's disciples?"
He answered,
"I am not."
Now it was cold, and the servants and guards had lit a charcoal fire and were standing there warming themselves. So Peter stood there too, warming himself with the others. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered,
have spoken openly for all the world to hear. I have always taught in the synagogue and the temple where all Jews meet together. I have said nothing in secret, but why ask me? Ask my hearers what I taught. They know what I said.
At these words, one of the guards standing by gave Jesus a slap in the face, saying,
"Is that the way to answer the high priest?"
Jesus replied,
"If there is something wrong in what I said, point it out. But if there is no offense in it, why do you strike me?"
Then Annas sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas, the high priest. As Simon Peter stood there warming himself, someone said to him, he denied it, saying, "One of the high priest's servants, a relation of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, 'Again, Peter denied it, and at once the cock crew. They then led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was now morning. They did not go into the praetorium themselves, or they would have been defiled and unable to meet the Passover. So Pilate came outside to them and said,
'What charge do you bring against this man?'
They replied,
'If he were not a criminal, he should not be counted as you.'
Pilate said,
'Take him yourselves and try by your own law.'
The Jews answered, 'This was to fulfill the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the way he was going to die.' So Pilate went back into the praetorium and called Jesus to him and asked,
'Are you the King of the Jews?'
Jesus replied,
'Do you ask this of your own accord, or have others spoken to you about me?'
Pilate answered,
"Am I a Jew? It's your own people, the chief priests, who have handed you over to me. What have you done?'
Jesus replied,
"Mine is not a kingdom of the world. If my kingdom were of this world, my men would have fought to prevent me being surrendered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this kind."
Pilate said, Jesus answered,
"It is you who say it. Yes, I am a king. I was born for this. I came into the world for this, to bear witness to the truth. And all who are on the side of the truth listen to my voice."
Pilate said,
"And
with that he went out again to the Jews and said,
'I find no case against him, but according to a custom of yours, I should release one prisoner at the Passover. Would you like me then to release the King of the Jews?'
At this they shouted,
'Not his son, but Barabbas.'
Barabbas was a brigand. Pilate then had Jesus taken away and scourged. And after this, the soldiers twisted some thorns into a crown and put it on his head and dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him and saying,
'Amen.'
And they slapped him in the face. Pilate came outside again and said to them, 'Jesus then came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe.' Pilate said,
'Here is the man.'
When they saw him, the chief priests and the guards shouted,
'Crucify him! Crucify him!'
Pilate said,
"Take him yourselves and crucify him. I can find no fault with him."
The Jews replied, When Pilate heard them say this, his fears increased. Re-entering the praetorium, he said to Jesus,
Where did he come from?
But Jesus made no answer. Pilate then said to him,
Are you refusing to speak to me? Surely you know I have the power to release you, and I have the power to crucify you.
Jesus replied,
You would have no power over me if it had not been given you from above. That is why the one who handed me over to you has the greater guilt.
From that moment, Pilate was anxious to set him free. But the Jews shouted, Hearing these words, Pilate had Jesus brought out and seated himself on the chair of judgment at a place called the pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was Passover preparation day, about the sixth hour. So Pilate said to Jesus,
Here is your king.
And they said, Pilate said,
You want me to crucify your king?
The chief priests answered,
We have no king except Caesar.
So, in the end, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. They then took charge of Jesus, and carrying his own cross, he went out of the city to the place of the skull, or as it is called in Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him with two others, one on either side, with Jesus in the middle. Pilate wrote out a notice and had it fixed to the cross. It ran, Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. This notice was read by many of the Jews, because the place where Jesus was crucified was not far from the city, and the writing was in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the Jewish priest said to Pilate,
You shall not write in the Jews, but this man said, I am the Jews.
Pilate answered,
What I have written.
When the soldiers had finished crucifying Jesus, they took his clothes and divided it into four shares, one for each soldier. His undergarment was seamless, woven in one piece, from neck to hem. So they said to one another, In this way the words of Scripture were fulfilled. They shared out my clothing among them. They cast lots for my clothes. This is exactly what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. Seeing his mother and the disciple he loved standing near her, Jesus said to his mother,
Woman, this is your son.
Then to the disciples he said,
This is your mother.
And from that moment the disciple made a place for her in his home. After this, Jesus knew that everything had now been completed, and to fulfill the scripture perfectly, he said,
I am thirsty.
A jar full of vinegar stood there. So putting a sponge soaked in vinegar on a hyssop stick, they held it up to his mouth. After Jesus had taken the vinegar, he said,
It is accomplished.
And bowing his head, he gave up his Spirit. It was preparation day, and to prevent the bodies remaining on the cross during the Sabbath, since that Sabbath was a day of special solemnity, the Jews asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken away. Consequently, the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with him, and then the other. When they came to Jesus, they found that he had already died. And so, instead of breaking his legs, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a lance, and immediately there came out blood and water. This is the evidence of one who saw it, trustworthy evidence, and he knows he speaks the truth. And he gives it so that you may believe as well, because all this happened to fulfill the words of Scripture. Not one bone of his will be broken. And again in another place, Scripture says, they will look on the one whom they have pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one, because he was afraid of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him remove the body of Jesus. Pilate gave permission. So they came and took it away. Nicodemus came as well, the same one who had first come to Jesus at nighttime. And he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with spices in linen cloths, following the Jewish burial custom. At this place where he had been crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been buried. Since it was the Jewish day of preparation, and the tomb was near at hand, they laid Jesus there. Today's celebration of the Passion, Jesus brings out some important points. About six weeks ago, we started our journey to this day. It's designated as Good Friday or Holy Friday. But there must be something intriguing and interesting about it, given the fact that someone was unjustly assassinated or executed. By all standards, what is it that makes it a special day, a holy day? Unique in its question that one asks oneself. It's a valid question. The full answer to the question will be manifest on Sunday. However, without leaving us completely in the dark and in suspense, a very short reason will suffice. Today, Jesus paid the ultimate price for our salvation by that sacrifice he made. He was taken to Calvary and crucified, a brutal act, a brutal way to kill someone. But today, that symbol of the cross shows power in weakness. It stands as a symbol of our salvation. How often do you hear on the television news or in some program warning us that we had to avert our eyes or some of the content might upset us. Maybe we should look away and not watch is what was going to be shown. But Good Friday puts the cross, that execution, right before our eyes. Watching the suffering is hard. So if we follow Christ to Calvary, we don't have fear, because we know that God's divine action is going to be present and protect us. So in his passion, Christ gives us a great lesson of love and generosity. And this must awaken our response of gratitude and serious commitment to God and to one another. If we look at the cross behind us, or the cross, or Jesus on the cross, it shows us one thing. Someone with their arms outstretched. What does that mean to you? If you could all stretch your arms out now, what would you be saying to others? Is it, I love you? I protect you? I delight in you as a person? So Jesus is saying to us, put our arms out, stretch them wide, show love, show compassion, show that you are a follower of Christ, so that in the future you can give that welcoming and love to others. That sign of hope, the outstretched arms, not a sign of despair, but a sign of love. His arms are open wide on the cross, but also in the resurrection on Sunday. The only question is, are our arms open to receive him?